Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1987. The topic is training, and the title is Addressing Poor Shoulder Health. Over half of my one-on-one clients, my online clients, are personal trainers, and we often talk about programming concepts that are unique or challenging for that trainer. This topic came up with one of my trainer clients who's also a business client, meaning we're covering more than just training information. We're also talking about how to grow ourselves in business. And they have a new client, had a bunch of shoulder injuries in the past, was never able to fully address them. My client, who's the trainer, wants to not just work around the shoulder problems, but actually fix and address the shoulder problems. So we were talking about what that takes in regards to programming and the focal points that they should have in that client's training. What we talked about were kind of three main concepts. Is number one is to stretch related musculature. And that would mean that our shoulders can have poor mobility, which would then cause like impingement and pain if related muscles to the shoulder are imbalanced. If my lats are super tight, or if my pecs are super tight, or even your triceps. If you ever have like a really big bench press or chest press day, and then the next day you try to put your arm over your head, you're going to notice that your triceps are actually pretty limiting for that whenever they're tight and beat up. So the lats, pecs, and triceps would be three areas that we'd want to look into. Now, what I want to cover in today's podcast is going to be probably enough to cover 90% of cases. Anything outside of what I mentioned today would be mostly have to be addressed on a one-on-one basis. And the reason why I point that out is it's not always just the lats, the pecs, and the triceps. There could be other issues. But most commonly, these are going to be the three that we would want to start with. And then that'll address most people's issues, and then we'd move on from there. If it's any special case where these things didn't help, I would encourage you to reach out to me and ask me to kind of work with you one-on-one. And it doesn't, not like a service promotion, but in general, you might actually need some personalized, individualized attention. So I just encourage you to do that. But if we stretch the lats, the pecs, and the triceps, what that does is it helps ensure neutrality of position of the shoulder joint itself and freedom of movement for the upper arm bone. The triceps, the lats, and the pecs, if tight, would restrict upper arm bone movement, and that can mess up the mechanics and the positions within the shoulder socket, and then any exercise or movements you try to do throughout the day can cause pain or have irritation to them. To stretch the lats, there's many ways to do it, but two that I find work most often. One is called a doorway stretch, and you can look these up on YouTube rather than me trying to explain it verbally as I go through all these other things in the podcast. But a doorway stretch for the lats is great. You can also foam roll the lats. I find that that works out really well to kind of open up and get the tissue to feel more pliable, more movable. But those are my two favorite. I'll also just do, you know, some lat pull downs with an isometric hold, and then also an elongated stretch hold. So you can get into a lat pull down machine where you start from the top, you pull it down to your chin, hold it for like 3 to 5 seconds, go back up to the top, pull back down, hold for 3 to 5 seconds, back to the top, back down, hold for 3 to 5 seconds. So we do three reps of about a 3-count hold, and then you go up to the top and just let the machine stretch open your lats. That can actually be a really good way to open up your lats as well. I would typically do 2 or 3 sets of that while paired with something else. Maybe some reverse flies on the ski erg, something that gets some higher volume, higher blood flow, as well as adding to that like mechanical stretch that you're getting from the cable lat pulldown. But those would be three options: doorway stretch, foam rolling, and the lat pulldown stretch. For the pecs, a doorway stretch is another option for the pecs, and there's actually specifically doorway stretches for pec minor. I would suggest you check that out, so that way you stretch both of the pecs. You can do lacrosse ball rolling for the chest. Painful, but crazy effective. And we actually have a video for that on our Brutal Iron Gym YouTube channel. So you can just type in Brutal Iron Gym lacrosse ball rolling to address tight chest, and you'll see that. And then the third one isn't as common. It's more what I use in like stubborn cases. It's called barbell smashing. Don't worry, you're not going to hit yourself with a barbell. It's just a term for like foam rolling, but you're using a barbell to do it. Now, this one specifically, you're using the end of a barbell, and you're going to create pressure into the pec connection of the upper arm, and then create movement, and that helps to kind of work the tissue loose. And again, you can find that on our YouTube channel, Brutal Iron Gym, self-therapy for tight chest muscles. And you'll see me in like a, I think it's a powder blue shirt. So if you see the video with the powder blue shirt, that would be the one. And those would be great drills to therapies or whatever to open up the pecs. For triceps, a simple high elbow stretch against the wall. You can find that on YouTube. Or a low anchor elbow overhead band stretch. And again, you can find that. You just type in tricep stretch with bands or just tricep stretch against wall. Those would be fine. And those would work really well. The idea of stretching is I would promote people to do this before, like at the beginning of the workout. But what we're looking for is not to spend all day doing it. We just want to coax open maybe an extra 10, 15% of movement. We're not trying to like fix all of our problems. We just want to coax open a little bit of extra movement before we start the workout. And then I'll also do stretches at the end of workouts and on non-training days. But typically, the stretching at the beginning of the workout is the most important because you're trying to establish healthy positioning before you get into the entire workout. So if you really have struggle, if you struggle with a lot of tightness, I would stretch a little bit at the beginning of the workout and a little bit at the end. The stretching at the end of the workout is actually really helpful because you've gotten the tissues thoroughly warmed up and exhausted now. So they're going to be as more pliable than they were at the beginning of the workout. Plus your adrenaline and endorphins are now kicked in. So your natural painkiller, your natural aggression and focus is all kind of heightened. So you can go a little bit deeper into the stretches and they don't feel as miserable as when you try to do it at the beginning of the workout. But I would do stretches at the beginning of the workout for sure, and then at the end of the workout. Typically, I have clients do 2 to 3 sets of roughly 30 seconds of either an active stretch like foam rolling where you're moving around. So they're going to explore that and kind of play around with about 30 seconds or so. And if it's a static stretch, again, around 30 seconds. Sometimes I'll do longer. Depends on the person. Depends on the situation. But 2 to 3 sets, 30 seconds, enough to get you moving and grooving, but you're not wasting your whole day or losing your excitement for the workout by spending, you know, a half hour stretching. And then I would do the same at the end of the workout as well. The other things we want to look at is in the workout after we stretch. Before we would get into larger, more complex movements of the day, we want to strengthen the related musculature of shoulder health. Two main things that come up when I think of this is the mid-back area between the shoulder blades and the backbone. That would address our rhomboids and our lower trapezius muscles. That would be a really good area. You want to focus on that. If you focus on strengthening that area, you're going to improve your positioning for the remainder of the workout. So before I do overhead presses, this is an example of an exercise that I would use to improve my position for overhead presses. I would do stuff that addresses my rhomboids and lower traps. Two of my favorite is, number one is YTWs. You can look up what that is on YouTube. So YTWs, and there's a lot of variations of those. Then horizontal shrugs. So we know about shrugging like against like dumbbells or machine shrugs or barbell shrugs, where it's a vertical shrug. We actually want to do horizontal shrugs. And that can be done on a cable seated row, a chest supported row machine. But the idea is rather than doing a row motion where I squeeze my shoulders back and then drive my elbows back, I'm actually going to keep my elbows passive. Doesn't mean they have to be locked out. They're just going to be passive. And I'm going to be focusing on letting the weight stretch my shoulder blades open. And then I'm going to squeeze my shoulder blades together against that weight load. So stretch the shoulders forward, squeeze the shoulders back. You would find that even I just did that two reps while I'm sitting here talking, and all of a sudden my posture feels better. So very, very quickly you'll realize that we don't use those muscles too well in regular life. And so it's a good idea to target those in training to make sure they're strong. And typically when we start to involve the elbows, when we start to actually pull the device towards us, people tend to overcompensate with their biceps. So by leaving the elbows passive, where we're really thinking of just the movement of our shoulder blades stretching and squeezing, that helps to ensure that muscles such as the biceps don't take over and actually minimize the involvement of the rhomboids and lower traps. Then the other area we want to focus on are the rotator cuff muscles. There's a couple muscles we have in our shoulders that help kind of control the positioning of our shoulder blades related to our shoulder socket. And it's good to address those tissues because they tend to be, like we said with the mid-back, they tend to just not be used much during the day. So they're typically weak. And then if we have poor posture and or tight chest muscles or tight lats, those muscles of the rotator cuff are kind of elongated and there's always like a stretch being placed on them. So that can make them weak, immobile, and just feel like kind of crunchy and crappy when you try to start to move them. And that can be related to the shoulder pain you might be having. Two of my favorite for rotator cuff muscles is what's called a cable Y raise. Now I'll do that from the floor or from mid pulley, just changing the angle of emphasis. And then banded Cuban presses, if you want to look those up, those are fantastic. They're challenging, but they're fantastic. So that would be the two main areas we would start with, is stretching related musculature, then go into strengthening related musculature, which would be the rhomboids, lower traps, rotator cuff muscles. And then we want to be mindful of proper technique during shoulder movements. And one component that is almost universally screwed up is having our shoulder blades in the proper position when we do movements like lateral raises and overhead presses. We would like to have, when we do anything overhead, that our shoulder blades have a sensation of being pulled downward so that way they're stabilized and braced. Now that's an awkward feeling. Most people, when they think of doing lateral raises, they also, not only do they raise their hand and elbow, but they raise their shoulder towards their ear. They're actually going to be contracting their upper trap. We actually don't want to do that because it causes a misalignment, misposition of our shoulder joint. We would rather keep our upper traps out of it and use our lower and mid traps to kind of hold our shoulder blades in place. So then as we do raises, our shoulder joint remains in a neutral position so we can get the actual shoulder muscles to do the contraction, not the upper traps. And we don't get impingement of the shoulder joint. Then when we do overhead presses, again, we want the lower traps, rhomboids, the muscles that control the positioning of the shoulder blades that would pull the shoulder blades down and in. We want those to be nice and strong and stable so that way the shoulder joint is stabilized and braced well when we're doing overhead presses. One of my personal favorite things for this was taken by Louis Simmons of Westside Barbell, and a therapy that he would use with his athletes to help make sure that they had healthy shoulders. You can actually find it on YouTube. There's a video of me doing it. You can type in Brutal Iron Gym band routine for general shoulder health. It takes you through a couple movements with bands, resistance bands, and the focus during all of the movements is to keep your shoulders down. And it'll explain what that means in the video. But there is, I think, a collection of five or six movements, and you're going to be aiming for literally any reps you can do with any band resistance. It could be the lightest band in the world, maybe even just two or three reps. Oh well, you just start. And then we've actually worked up to doing three rounds of each movement where I'll do, like, say, movement one, then movement two, then movement three, go through all the movements, that's one round, then go through a second round, then a third round, where I actually do 50 repetitions of each movement. When I was having my shoulder problems, it stemmed for me from when I was in high school playing football. I popped both of my shoulders out of place playing football. And I actually popped him out backwards, out of the back of the socket. Like, that's abnormal. That's not the typical way that they're popped out. But I popped both my shoulders out of place in football. And nobody knowing anything, no blaming error or whatever. But I had trouble. I hit somebody as a block. And, like, I hit them. We both kind of went down to the ground. And then I went to try to push myself up off the ground. And I was like, holy crap, like, my arm's not moving, like, the right way. And I have no power. Like, it was just like, it was like a baby deer trying to stand. I could not get myself up. And I had no clue what the hell was going on. I managed to finagle my way up onto my feet. And then I ran over to the sidelines. And I told the coach, I was like, something's wrong. Like, my arms aren't working. And he goes, what? And I went to lift them. And from down at my sides, I could only lift them maybe to a 45-degree angle. Like, certainly not out to where, like, my hands were straight out, like, parallel with the ground. It was just maybe a couple inches up. And I was like, they're not moving. And he grabbed my wrist and lifted them the rest of the way. And that popped my arms back in place. And he goes, what do you mean? Like, they're moving. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, okay, yeah, like, now they're moving. So I didn't know what happened. So I went back out and kept playing. and then, unfortunately, though, it left my left shoulder especially, oh my gosh, super weak. Super, super, super weak. And then my right shoulder was messed up as well. Now, I was able to do some physical therapy, get some help, but there was always this horrible, horrible stabbing pain in my left shoulder when I would try to put my arm over my head. And both of my shoulders would be extremely, extremely fatigued from any kind of overhead work. So I would do some overhead pressing, you know, as I got into bodybuilding. And I did compete in a couple strongman competitions and powerlifting. You don't do anything overhead, but I've competed in powerlifting. But I remember doing like log presses, overhead presses. I could put up some decent weight. I put up, you know, over 315 over my head before for presses. But my shoulders would be so weak, I'd struggle to put on a t-shirt for the next 2 or 3 days. I literally had to train clients in button-down shirts because I couldn't put a t-shirt on. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I got to fix this. I got to figure this out. And one of the ways that I addressed it was actually through this band routine from Louis Simmons. I did this band routine for 21 days in a row. So every single day for 21 days in a row, 3 rounds, 50 reps of each movement. When I first started it, it probably took me an hour to get through because it was incredibly painful, an intense, intense, intense burn. And my shoulders just couldn't hold themselves in place very well. I'd do like 3 or 4 reps, then have to like take a break. And you're doing that, you know, 50 reps for 6 movements. It's going to take forever. But I got through it. I did it 21 days. By the 21st day, I was able to do all 50 reps right in a row, go through each movement, and I was like, daggum, like, this is pretty cool. I can put my left arm over my head, no stabbing pain whatsoever, and I was like, this is the thing. This is what I need to do. This is great. So I stopped doing it every single day and then just started doing it twice a week, and then I did it twice a week for probably a long time. I'd say probably 6 months to a year, and then I dropped to just doing it whenever I felt like my shoulders were a little crunchier, a little weird, a little weak, and that's actually where I'm at now, and that was, gosh, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, to where if I ever feel like my shoulders are just behind in recovery, I notice they're not recovering as well, I'll do that band routine once or twice a week for a couple weeks, and then boom, they're back to feeling good. So I've used this for a lot of athletes. I've helped a couple Major League Baseball pitchers and showed them this, and it was great for their shoulders. Did it for a couple throwing athletes at the collegiate level, and they loved it. A lot of regular human beings for shoulder therapy and rehab, and they loved it as well. So I would definitely recommend that. It is what I would consider like kind of my go-to when I want to have therapy for people. And it's a safe start if they take their time and they understand the positioning of it and don't overexert themselves, don't expect too much right away. Just kind of work your way through and figure it out. That's a pretty safe start. The other thing I like to do is scapular retraction pull-downs or pull-ups, depending on the person's ability to hold their own body weight. A scapular retraction pull-up or a scapular retraction pull-down you can find on YouTube, but it's the starting motion of what a pull-up or pull-down should be. We talked about the horizontal row, horizontal shrugs, how it's the start of a row, is your shoulders should be spread out at the full extension. You're going to start by squeezing the shoulder blades together and then driving your elbows back from a rowing position, which would be kind of perpendicular to the line of the body. Whereas a pull-up or pull-down, we're looking at the line of tension being parallel with the body. So the scapular retraction pull-up or pull-down is the same concept. It's just the start of a pull-up or pull-down, like the horizontal shrugs are the start of a row. And that is a wonderful, wonderful exercise to have mind-muscle connection awareness of what it feels like to pull the shoulder blades down and together, and then to hold that position as you'd be able to move your arms and do other type of movements. So it's a very, 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 very good exercise. And it also mimics the feeling and the position you should have when doing raises, overhead presses, overhead carries, the peak contraction that you should feel when doing pull-ups or pull-downs. So it's really good for mind-muscle awareness for a lot of movements. So in our workouts, that would be kind of the pattern we'd go through, is stretching related musculature, lats, pecs, triceps, strengthening related musculature, stuff for the rhomboids and lower traps and the rotator cuff muscles. And then you would get into your regular workout stuff, but be very mindful of ensuring that you have proper technique during any shoulder-related movements. In training, when we have shoulder issues or poor shoulder health, I will typically, anything that involves the shoulders, we aim for a blood flow pump, not maximal weight load. So when we think of why we quit an exercise, it's because we reach maximum intensity, either of it's so damn heavy I can't move it anymore, or my muscles burn so much I just don't want to move it anymore. When we have poor shoulder health, we always want to be going to the burning, the pump, where it's so burning and so pumped that I don't want to move it anymore. Because you're very, very, very unlikely to cause structural damage when you have a medium weight load that you're pushing for a pump, compared to a heavy weight load that you're actually aiming for shear force damage. So just safer, much safer. You want to have time under tension ranges of anywhere between 10 to 60 seconds. And I would suggest you mix that up. When you're doing bracing and stabilizational stuff, probably the lower end, 10 to 20 seconds. When you're doing stuff for a blood pump, probably somewhere between 20 to 60 seconds. You're going to train your shoulders a minimum of twice a week. They can recover from twice a week training for sure. You can do it a little more often, but that would depend on the comfort level you have. You might be super sore and need the days off. So you kind of got to play that by ear, and depending on how, if you feel like you're recovered enough to progress the stimulus of the movements. If you can't make progress, then you need to wait longer between your workouts. When we are training, if we have any burning pain in the shoulders or any kind of soreness and like, oh, it takes a couple sets to kind of get everything going, that's totally fine. That's actually okay. What is not okay is if we have any stabbing pain or any electrical shock type feelings in our shoulders or when we're doing movements. If you feel an electrical pain or a shock or a stabbing pain, you want to stop what you're doing, recheck your positioning. We might be out of position. So there you go. So those are some tips and information for addressing poor shoulder health. I really would recommend that people, if you have poor shoulder health, check out that YouTube video, the band routine that I stole from Louis Simmons. Again, it's Brutal Iron Gym band routine for general shoulder health. I would send you his video, but I don't even remember where it is, and I had to kind of modify it to make it more streamlined in presentation. I think when I was watching his video, it was partly in a podcast and partly in another video. He had somebody doing it, but they weren't really doing it all the way. And I wanted to just make a better teaching video, which I did for my clients. So that's the one I would suggest you check out. But I do want to give him credit because it's actually his. And I'm sure that, you know, if he invented it, kick ass, awesome for him. But tends to be quite often where people modify something they've learned from someone else. And we just kind of modify, improve, and modify, improve. So Hopefully I was able to do it justice and improve it. And as I said, for the professional athletes and collegiate level athletes that have all tried this, they loved it. And for general population, whenever I've done that for shoulder rehab, they've loved it as well. So I would definitely suggest you check that out. If you have any questions, if you need anything else, you can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can always send me a message on the bottom of the homepage. And then also on the homepage, we have our podcast player with instructions on how to find older podcasts. So if on whatever podcast player you're on, if you can't access older podcasts, but you might be interested in doing so, you can find those on our website. Okay. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people share it with, the more people can help. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.